Nick, how you doing, sir?
Yep.
How's it going, man?
Oh shit! What happened? Oh. For a second, you were there, then you disappeared, and now you're back.
Oh, we're here.
You're here. You guys remained on this plane of existence. You didn't ask for this break.
Yes.
It's good. My morning goal every day.
So first of all, we just wanted to, you know, say thank you for joining us, man. Thank you for reaching out and, you know, sharing your movie Hanky Panky with us. We really enjoyed it.
Oh my God. Thank you so much for having me and for enjoying it. Thank you for that.
Well, just to kind of kick it off, if you want to go ahead for our audience, if you just want to, you know, tell us who you are, a little bit about yourself, kind of what brought you up to making the film that you just recently made.
Yeah, it's a good question, is how did I become this way that I made this movie, which is so deranged. My name is Nick Roth. I'm primarily a screenwriter. I'm from L.A. I've done some writing for television. I wrote on a sitcom for a little while. Mostly right now, I'm writing features, trying to write really weird ones. And so Hanky Panky sort of came out of it was all developed by a very close group of friends. I co-directed it with my wife, Lindsay Hahn. And we really just like put it together out of the fervent desire to make whatever movie we could. We just wanted to make a movie really badly. We had made a bunch of shorts together and we were like, let's make a feature film. And so we pooled our sort of like, well, what do we have? We have a cabin, we have this idea about a talking hat. We have this weird camera and we have a group of friends who can act, because we pretty much all grew up in LA. And so we were like, we know enough people who can act. We were like, okay, ensemble cabin. Okay. It's a horror. It's a comedy horror movie in a cabin. Let's go.
Awesome. Hey. I mean, I'll let you guys ask some questions here.
Well, first off, once again, like Tony said, I thought that movie was amazing. I genuinely loved it. First question is, do you know Seth Green? Like, how did you get him involved in this project?
Yeah, Lindsay. Okay, so Seth is we've been on this run set, like we just started putting social media out there where Seth is talking about his performance as the hat.
And yeah, claiming, I saw it on Instagram.
We saw an Instagram post, yeah.
Claiming that, look, okay, the hat, or here's the actual hat. I have it. It's right here. Here's the hat. It's a little worse for wear these days, but it's so Seth is a voice in the film. His wife, Claire, plays Kelly in the film. Okay. And we've just all been friends for about 10 or 12 years now. Lindsay and Claire met and became friends in a improv class they took like more than 10 years ago. I don't remember exactly when it was. And so then we just all hit it off and we actually met Ashley, who plays Diane, through Seth and Claire. They were already friends. And so like this was sort of like a mishmash of a couple different friend groups that came together to get this movie made. And originally Seth isn't in the movie mostly because we didn't want him to feel like we were just like trying to, you know, he's a much more famous person than the rest of us. And we were like, we don't want Seth to think we only want him in the movie for that. And then I think afterwards, I kind of think he felt left out. He was like, why didn't I get to be in the movie? And so I was like, well, I was kind of thinking in the back of my head the entire time that your Skeletor voice, which I know that you do from Robot Chicken, is perfect for the hat. So it worked out.
Yeah, the first couple of lines he had, I was like, this sounds like Seth. And then as soon as I heard his laugh, I was like, yes, I recognize this laugh.
Yeah, he's a very talented voice actor. I could have probably gotten him to do a voice that like more masked the fact that it's him. But like it was in the script, it was Seth Green's Skeletor voice, in my head. Like that was just what the hat was always.
Yeah, I did like in the Instagram, you know, he talked about how it was very difficult for him to lose the weight to get to the hat.
There's like 45 more minutes of just him talking about it that we couldn't, you know, fit into that. That's very funny.
That's awesome. Well, I really liked the big introduction of comedy into the movie, especially the scene with, I think it's Diana, who has two faces.
Oh yeah, that's Lilith.
No one says anything up until then, and then it's like, oh my god, you could have just told me to this. I about peed my pants laughing. I was like, yes, that's something I would have said.
It's so crazy to hear that, because like, okay, so you know, there's things when you make a movie, it's a very collaborative effort, and so there's things that I think work in the film, and there's things that I'm like, I don't know if. Like, I was the, okay, I'll just say it, which is that, like, I was like, I don't think we should do this head on the back of the face bit. I don't get it. This is too crazy. It doesn't make any sense. Why are we doing this? And it was like other people who were on the movie. I don't remember who exactly. I don't want to name who championed the back of the head. I don't remember. But we were just like, all right, we'll go for it. And then afterwards, I was like, I wish I could cut this out. And too many other people were like, no, this is funny, you crazy person. And so I'm clearly wrong.
You could have just said two faces. I would have got it. But I know I like the ire leading up to it. And then and then the realization.
Those two are so funny together. Also, that's Jacob Demony Finn and Christina Laske, who play Sam and Carla, who are like, who have a very funny their relationship that arcs throughout the movie. I think they riff off each other really well.
Mm-hmm.
I will say Carla and Diane are my two favorite characters in that movie. Yeah. Carla is always in most of the, like in the early scenes, she's always rolling a joint or just getting ready to get high. And then in the ice shack, her and Cliff just get baked out of their minds, which I love the TARDIS ice shack, by the way. I thought that was a great decision.
it was just made out of necessity. We were like, well, if we're going to film in this ice shack, it's got to be big, but we're not gonna we can't build a big ice shack on this, because the exterior of the ice shack is, you know, it's just two walls, but it's an actual frozen lake. Like, it was not easy to build that thing and drag that out onto a frozen lake and get it out there. So it was like, we were like, I guess it's a TARDIS. I guess it's just gonna have to be this way.
Do you hear ice cracking? No, that's fine. It's fine.
it was so frozen up there that we weren't even worried about that. Like, that was the least of our problems.
And I loved how Diane always had a drink in her hand the moment she got into the cabin. Like, even when she was in the bathroom reading the nicotine medication, there's a glass of wine that she has to pick up off the floor. I was like, yes.
Yeah, I think, I mean, when you're thinking about like economical ways to like identify characters, it's like having a prop or something that they always have or whatever. And I think Lindsay did a really great job sort of color coding the characters a little bit, where they're not, it's not like, you know, super, it's kind of like Clue, where it's like, there's like Mr., you know, Mr. Green or whatever. And like, the Carla's almost always in blue. Diane's almost always in like purple or pink.
Mm-hmm.
And it just like helps you. So she's okay. So she's got weed and wearing purple. Like, okay, I know who this character is.
So I don't want to spoil too much, because this movie doesn't come out until the 19th, right?
I think it's fine. You know what I mean? Like, this movie's not so much about, like, I don't think anyone's going into this movie being like, but what possibly could, like, I'm on the edge of my seat waiting to know what will happen. You know what I mean? It's like, it'd be like spoiling Caddyshack or something. Like, the golf course blows up. Okay, but you can still go see the movie.
Okay.
Well, it's kind of like us when we reviewed Cocaine Bear.
So, yeah, oh yeah. That bear is going to do cocaine and eat people.
It is literally in the title.
My only unresolved question is, what happened to Cliff?
Okay, great.
Yeah, because he finds his wife dead in the snow and then just runs off into the forest and you never see him again.
We shot an elaborate shot-for-shot parody of The Shining, where Cliff goes crazy and he finds an axe and he's dragging it through the snow. And it's like Jack in The Shining in the labyrinth. And then he freezes to death in the snow in an exact. And, you know, in the editing room, it took a really long time to edit this movie. We edited for years. And one of the things that you have to decide in the editing room is like, what kind of humor works, what kind doesn't work, what kind of jokes or references do and don't. Because we shot so much and there was so much improv and there was so much good stuff. But one of the things that really had to go was a lot of the sort of like very meta stuff, the really heavy parody things that we did, where it was like, too tongue-in-cheek, which sounds crazy because there's so much weird tongue-in-cheek sort of parody-esque things in the movie. But the stuff like that where it just, it didn't fit in the movie. It fit in the script, but it didn't fit in the movie once we had it put together. Mm-hmm. And so then you sort of like are faced with the option of like, oh, well, what do we do? Because it is now a loose end. Like, and at some point you go, well, I think it's just going to have to be a loose end at the end of the movie. Because so, you know, like one possibility is to like cut back to him at some point, just frozen in the snow. And there's a good moment in the very last scene where they're like, oh, I think I really did a great job for Cliff and Carla's marriage. It's like, oh, it is weird that their car's still here or whatever. And you could at that point just like cut with the music sting to him frozen and dead. Yeah. In the snow.
Still holding the axe.
Yeah, still with an axe. I mean, poor Anthony. It was like the hardest day of shooting. It was like 5 feet of snow and he was like, you know, dragging an axe through it for, you know, it's not even in the movie. But at the end of the day, it was like, no, that scene really is like, it works as this like sweet moment at the end of this crazy thing. And it just like, I didn't want to disrupt that. And then, so it's like, okay, you could put that in at the end of the end credits. And I was like, no, you know what? I think I want Cliff in the sequel. So I'm just going to get rid of this, you know?
Always keep them guessing. That's what you got to do.
So, but thank you for paying attention so closely that you noticed that is not addressed.
So when you have like, you know, that much comedy in it, and I, you know, kind of always wondered this with, you know, Will Ferrell, like an old school, or, you know, like one, or, you know, any kind of movie where they have a whole lot of improv, like how do you decide on, you know, what's awesome to go in and what flows like that? That seems like probably one of the hardest jobs, even outside of shooting.
I think that's a big part of what took so long in the editing room was just that I don't know the answer to that. Lindsay and I edited the movie together, and we had never edited a feature before, and we were editing this in our spare time. And so it's pretty hard. You just kind of like have to try things. And I mean, my approach was, cut it way too long. The first cut of the movie was 3 hours long, and then just keep cutting down. Like, I don't know. There's like some great, like Michelangelo was like, how did you carve David or whatever? And he was like, I just cut away all the stone that wasn't David or whatever. And so, like, you know, it's, you start with a big old block of marble and you just cut away everything that's not the movie. What's not hanky panky. And then you end up with the masterpiece at the end of it.
Now, I got a question. So kind of more on the technical end like that. Like, so you said, you know, it took a long time to edit. What was the actual shoot time for the film? Like, how long did you take to actually do the pre-production and production portion of it?
There is disagreement on how we all remember it slightly differently. we came up with the film and shot it pretty quickly. So writing and prep and development was fast. We came up with it in summer. Like, it was, so it was probably just the idea, like, hey, let's make a movie, was like June, and we were shooting by January. We knew we had to shoot in winter break because that's when we could get the availability of people who didn't have any other jobs, and also the snow that we knew we would want. So we were always like, we could shoot this in like prep it in December, shoot it in January, based the first couple weeks of January.
Okay.
So that's, I mean, there was a lot of collaboration in the writing and development, where we did lots of like theater games with each other and like put together a whole sort of weekend where we all kind of like developed the characters together, did improv based on the characters, like, you're snowed in, go. And that was a really good way of just seeing like which characters made sense to be in scenes together.
Mm-hmm.
And then that mostly got thrown away for actor availability, and those are the scenes that got those are the characters who got scenes together. But yeah, so it was just a few months that we basically prepped it. And then we shot it in, the main shoot was 3 weeks. Everybody remembers differently how many days a week we were shooting. I was like, I thought we got weekends. And Lindsay was like, no, we shot 6 day weeks on this. So it was a blur, but it was about 15 to 18 days for the main shoot of it.
Okay.
And then we did shoot a couple of pickup days in LA later, which was like the interior of the ice shack that looks totally different, and the interior of the black bathroom and stuff like that. That's just my house. Like we shot that here later.
Yeah, it sounds almost like when you brought up about, like getting everybody together before the actual shoot and kind of just playing the parts out and stuff, kind of sounds almost like a workshop retreat kind of thing that some places do.
Yes, exactly. I think like Mike Nichols does a lot of this or whatever. Like it was a lot of, the actors getting like a say in their characters and getting developed, like what would be fun to play. And I think that makes it, I think you can feel that they're like more like authentically them.
Because I was going to say it can also give them the feeling of being more invested into the character too.
Yeah. And they're all, the whole main cast is also producers on this. So if we win best picture at the Oscars, like we'll all have to go.
Well, and plus it's also way better to make those decisions prior than when you're in the middle of a shoot and they're like, you know what? I don't think why would my character do this? Or I think my character would do this. You're like, hey, we're in the middle of shooting. We got 18 days.
But nevertheless, there was quite a bit of that because the initial script that I wrote didn't make a lot of sense. I wrote it too fast. And so it was very much like rewriting on the fly. I was rewriting things the night before. And then Toby, who is a really important collaborator, Toby Bryan, who is he plays Norm, but he's also he made this hat and he puppeteered the napkin. And he's the voice of Woody as well. Toby's role on set at times was to be like, none of this makes logical sense. Can you work a little harder to make logical sense? And I was like, we're in the middle of, okay. Let's see what we can do.
Sir, we're going to need you to do better.
Yeah. When you Toby definitely, Toby was pushing on that, which is important. You need that person on set. He's one of Maya Lindsay's oldest friends.
Well, and you said you wrote the script pretty fast, the original script, and then also your original cut was like 3 hours long. What was the length of the original script? Because like we always try to give, the viewers and the listeners a little bit of education. The rule of thumb, in the industry is like a page per minute. So like one page of script per minute, but a lot of times that, exceeds or isn't as much. So what was your original script size?
Yeah, I struggle with the one page per minute thing, turns out.
Yeah, it's hard.
I think the original script was 110.
Okay.
It should have been 95 probably for a movie like this. But the thinking was, we'll shoot a little bit too much. It's a comedy. We went in like, this is our first feature. We weren't super confident that we would, edit that like tight movie to the 95. We were like, we better get a lot and see what doesn't work so we can cut it out.
Yeah.
And then we were overly ambitious about how fast we could shoot. It was very hard to shoot that many pages with no crew. Like that was the real problem. Like we were just, because a lot of us have worked in TV before where you have this like unbelievable streamlined crew and you're just like, oh, so it's a five pages today. That's light, right? We got it. 8 pages today, slightly heavy. So we kind of scheduled it a little overconfidently, thinking we could shoot at that pace. And you can't when you have, like, you need, if you don't have a crew, it slows you down. It turns out we learned.
Well, that's what it's all about. We have a good friend of ours. He used to be the film commissioner here and started a film festival down here that we go to. And he always said, he's become huge in independent film and stuff. And he always said, just you got to make that first movie. You just got to get through it regardless of whatever it turns out to be. Hopefully it's great, or fun and people enjoy it and enjoy what what you put into making it. But no matter what the deal is, you got to get that first movie done. Just do it just to do it and get it going.
That is exactly what we're hoping is like and what we were going for. Just like hell or high water. Let's come out of this with a feature. What was funny is because it took so long to edit, like a lot of people just assumed that this fell apart and never was going to get finished. And like, I remember I was at some point texting with one of our cinematographers because we had three different, they're all great. We had three different cinematographers because I couldn't get any of my DP friends to commit to a full month of working on this movie because nobody got paid. And like, But I could get three different friends to work for 1 week each, which was how we shot the film. And I texted one of them just to be like, hey, so we're done with the movie and blah, blah, blah. And he thought I was like, he thought I was doing a joke the entire time. He was like, ah, that's great. I'm so happy for us. And like assumed that it was fake. And then like was like, hey, are you coming to this like screening or whatever? And he was like, oh, what? It's a, you've actually finished this movie. So it's unbelievable that it exists, even to the people that that worked on it.
That's awesome.
Did you do the screening in April to give it extra clout? April 1st, I promise, be there.
Yeah, I mean, this if this movie could only be an April Fool's Day movie, that would make sense. We need people to watch it on other days too.
Yeah, yes, yeah, exactly. Yes.
Well, so it's coming out, you said the 19th. Where all is it going to be out on?
It's coming out initially on Apple, Amazon, Google, and then like all these other platforms that have funnier names that I don't like. It's like Hoopla and Voodoo Fandango, and they're all great. But it'll be VOD for 420 weekend is the idea. This is a fun way to celebrate your yeah.
Great movie to watch, stoned.
I think it's you can watch this movie sober.
Yes.
And as I have thousands of times at this point, but it probably will be, it won't be harmed by being on drugs for it.
I watched it sober to make my notes and give an actual critique, but I did go back a couple of days later.
Yeah, thank you. That's perfect. Yes, really understand it, take notes, critique it once, then eat a bunch of mushrooms and watch it.
I want to see the other side of this film.
You got I took high notes this time, and then he compared his sober notes to his high notes.
I think he actually went to the other plane with Harry the Hat.
You never want to do it the other way around, because get high and watch it first, and then you watch it sober, you'll be like, what? That might freak you out, you know.
This is a wildly different movie than I remember.
Check that link again.
Yeah.
Make sure I get to the right place.
You brought up the character Norm, and I wanted to talk about him real quick. Was it your decision, or even just Toby's decision, to be full frontal three times in this movie?
Oh, I think that was a sort of collaborative group decision. Lindsay, you know, has directed a bunch of shorts, and one of her sort of things was, she was like, in a sort of historical correction, it's not, there will be more, there must be at least or more male nudity than female nudity in anything that she directs. And I fully support this. as a just like, there can be both, but, you know, especially when you're
60-40 towards the dude.
Yeah. Or at least 50%. And so we were very much like, this is such an intertextual and referential like horror film that's kind of about horror films, and so many other previous movies were on our mind. And it's like, I don't know, at a certain point you're like, I just don't want to, it's been done. It's not interesting to just like have, there's so many boobs in horror movies. And it's like, we were just like, that's not what this is. And also we're shooting it with our friends, so we just knew off the bat, it's like, this isn't a sexy movie. There's some stuff in it that's whatever, a little sexy, but it's not like that's, this is not, if you're like, I want to see a horror movie where girls in bikinis are being chased in a forest and then murdered, like that's not, we were never going to make that. We didn't even want to parody that. We weren't engaging with that. And so what, the question was, why do we see Toby's dick so much? That was just,
I mean, I'd like to think I put it more politer than that, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And honestly, good for Toby. That man is, he's a lucky dude.
I think it was, you know, it was a choice that I think it was probably Toby's idea. I don't want to speak for him, because I don't remember now if it was him who pitched the idea, but I think there was definitely like, you know, we were like, we want to create this sense of like unbelievably uncomfortable, sort of incestual.
Oh, and you nailed that.
Whatever was going on between these two siblings. And so it just made sense for him to be nude there, right? Like in the moment that we first see him naked, it's, the whole point is that it sort of disrupts Sam and Sam is like on trying to, he's sort of in detective mode. He's trying to find out more information. He's like, doesn't know what's happening. And we're sort of on the journey with Sam at this point. And then like stuff keeps happening, whether it's murders or flying hats or penises or whatever, that is like getting in the way of his ability to like just solve the mystery. And so what's the furthest we could go? I think it was probably Toby and Lindsay were like, he should be completely naked.
That's awesome.
And then he just doesn't have clothes on later. Like that's
yeah, yeah. Just sitting there playing guitar, no clothes on. I mean,
at that point, why bother?
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, he's not gonna put clothes back on.
Yeah, yeah. That would take too much effort.
We only got 18 days to shoot this. You can't be putting clothes back on now.
Yeah, we only had so many costume changes. That's why we just ran. We ran out of our clothes budget, so we're just like, Toby's got to be naked.
And another question. So I know you said you are all friends in LA and it's where you grew up and you live. Where did you actually shoot? Where was this cabin? Was that up by Tahoe?
Utah.
Oh, Utah.
So that's Lindsay's dad's cabin. Lindsay's dad, Jimmy Hahn, who also did the score for the movie. He's a composer and he lives at least most of the time up in this secluded cabin in the very remote, very high mountains of Utah. So that was sort of built into the initial idea. It was like, we could shoot a movie in that cabin. And we were like, well, if we want to make a feature and we have that cabin, everything sort of like fell out of that. Like the cabin, it was a cabin first film. And we were like, we could stay there while we shot it. It's a great cabin. It's not a huge cabin. It's very comfortable for a couple people. It's not when there are like 10 people staying in it. So it was basically like every room of that cabin had somebody crashing like on the floor or the couch or whatever, which makes it hard to shoot because like that's your set too. So it'd be like, okay, we have to get people in this room, have to wake up early and dress this set so that we can shoot in it because we're shooting in here today. So you can't sleep in.
Nice.
Nice.
And we shot the whole thing there.
Not vacation.
I think I initially pitched it to our friends as being more of a vacation than it was. I was like, yeah, and then there'll be weekends. You guys go snowboarding on the weekends and we'll like, there may have been a tiny bit of snowboarding, but it was, it ended up being, it's actually quite a lot of work to make a whole feature with your friends. And so I got no vacation. I know. I don't know if it makes
sense. And then you're immediately like, when you're done, like everybody else done shooting, they can go home. Now you got to edit and get that stuff.
Yes.
Too.
Yes, that is true. I wasn't totally prepared mentally for how much more work happens afterwards.
Yeah. So let me ask you this on those, because I like getting in the technical stuff as well, is you know, when you said you got it done, you started editing. At any point during the movie, did you ever kind of look and begin cutting anything while you were shooting? Like, so at the end of the day or at the end of the week, shoot and cut anything, or just kind of wait?
So like I said, a lot of us have worked in TV before where it's so streamlined that's happening. Like you shoot, someone is taking that footage and bringing it to your editor that day. Mm-hmm. They're putting the rough cut. And sometimes the next day you have a scene put together that's maybe not finished or polished. Right. That never happened. Not once on Hanky Panky. And the reason is it was like we would shoot. I was doing the DIT. So it was like, I was dumping the footage to hard drives at lunch and then after we wrapped for the day, every day I was managing the data, and that took a lot of time and was basically like there was never going to be a moment for editing, right? Like that was just never going to happen up there. So it wasn't until, we got back and then weeks later that we were able to really start getting into the seeing what we should. Like it was, I don't even think we looked at footage while we were up there, like not on the weekends, not nothing.
Gotcha. Okay. That's fair. I just like to, because everybody's got their own, their own process and stuff. And also you guys had a very small crew as well. So it's a little bit more difficult. Like if you were focused on, just directing and you could edit or have someone dumping that footage and then you could go back and edit it later.
Obviously that sounds so great. I think there's some big director, I forget who it is. Is it Judd Apatow? There's someone who like has his editor on set so that like he doesn't move from a scene until he's seen like a rough cut of the scene. Like literally, like he'll shoot it and then it's look at a rough cut and be like, okay, I think we have it, and then move on.
Yeah, I think I know. Maybe obviously he's a big director to the indie world, but I know Kevin Smith does that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he does the editing every day at the end of the day. But again, he's got massive crews now. He's got, you know, the funds and the crew amount of people to be able to get that done.
And an editor.
And an editor.
Yeah.
It's no longer just him and Ben in like a workshop.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I say that because I know Ben Affleck really well. So I can say just Ben.
You and Benny. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I want to make sure, because we probably only get a little bit of time.
About 10 minutes.
So, yeah. So is there anything coming up that any other projects kind of in the works that you're looking to get going while this one's being premiered?
Well, look, I do have I have a lot of ideas that are not in full fruit. I really want to do a Jewish Hanukkah horror movie called Dreddle. That's something that's high on my list of things that I'm thinking about writing next. But I'm also like, at the moment, like, honestly, finishing Hanky Panky made me so excited about the idea of Hanky Panky 2. I'm like, I think I'm going to write Hanky Panky 2 right away. Like, before the movie is successful or not. Because if the movie's not successful, then I think it will be very hard to write the sequel. So if I'm going to write it, I better write it now before it comes out. So man, I think that's it.
I got to tell you what, there's a guy, as we're talking and we're talking to you and also, you know, seeing you as well, there's a guy out in LA that we got to meet, you know, in Florida, Shane. That I think you guys would make an amazing movie together.
Yeah. Oh, Shane.
Our friend Shane Brady, man. He's got your same kind of like style, like, you know, just the way you are.
Your whole vibe.
Yeah.
Is him.
Yeah. Like, as soon as you popped on the screen, I'm like, oh my God, that reminds me of Shane.
All right. Well, I love my whole vibe. So introduce us.
Yeah, yes, man, definitely.
Absolutely.
We may see him this year. We're not sure.
No, he's not coming out.
Yeah, because we go to the Sunscreen Film Festival here every April. It's in a few weeks, April 25th through the 28th. So we do the podcast there and get to interview people. That's how we kind of got to meet him. But yeah, definitely. He lives mainly in LA, if I remember correctly. So if you want, I can check with him if you guys want to. Yeah,
you can send him my info or whatever.
And stuff.
Sure. That sounds great. Speaking we just got into the oh sorry I was just gonna no, no, say no. that while Continue, we're on Florida please. I just heard we got into the Orlando International Film Festival, so I don't know if we're screening there or what we're trying to. This is brand new, like I don't even know the details yet, but that will be our Florida premiere, I guess.
Awesome.
Nice.
That is coming up at some point later this year.
Well, if you get another one, you know, coming up for next year, or if you want to, you know, with this one, you know, get it in there, you know, like look up Sunscreen Film Festival. It's in St. Petersburg, man. It's a really cool film festival. So
I've heard of Sunscreen.
Have you? They actually have Sunscreen West out your way. So
that's what I'm thinking.
It's a partnership one. So it's basically, I think it was kind of co-founded by the same people, but different people run that one out there. So, but it's basically got the same principles that this one does.
See? You kind of already answered this question, but have you submitted Hanky Panky to any other film festivals outside of Orlando?
You know, we submitted it to a million. And like the first round, we really wanted to be at Slam Dance because we didn't get in, but because we had made a short that went to Slam Dance, and the camera that we shot Hanky Panky on, we won at Slam Dance with a short. And then Slam Dance was like, we shot it nearby. Like, we were like, oh, and we had such a good time at Slam Dance. We were like, we want to come back with a movie. And so like the first round of places were like, we'll apply to places that were like, we really wanted to go, like Slam Dance and stuff. And then when we didn't get in, we sort of were like, okay, let's just have fun and go to a million different festivals. So we've screened it a bunch in mostly in LA so that we can, this afternoon, I'm going to the Los Angeles Cinema Festival of Hollywood, which is screening us at 12:30. Not when this airs, listener. I'm sorry, ignored the time. So we've been at a lot of fun little ones and sort of had a good time screening it. It's really fun to watch it with strangers who have no idea what they're in for. There was one festival, we went to the Golden State Film Festival, which was a lot of fun. And they pair shorts with the features, which I think is always great at festivals, because at least that's somebody who comes to see your movie is the people who made the short, right? And so, but the short that they paired Hanky Panky with was this very serious and good drama. like a drama short, not funny, a father-daughter piece. It's revealed that the daughter has been killed and he's talking to her ghost, but like not in a fun supernatural way, in like a heartbreaking way. So, you watch this like very serious short with those filmmakers who made that short, and like then Hanky Panky just immediately starts afterwards, and we're like, there's going to prepare yourselves for a tone shift. What do you say?
It's awesome, man.
They were, and then afterwards they were like, it was great, it helped lighten the mood, and very quickly after you know, it's a good palate cleanser after something dark and serious.
Yeah. No, that's really cool, man. And I just want to make sure we got enough time to do any closings and everything, but you know, again, we really enjoyed the movie. Thank you again for letting us view it.
We'll probably, good honor.
Yeah, definitely want to check it out again. And also, you know, going forward, you know, now we get your kind of contact info, and you matched up with how do you pronounce her name? Ariane? Is that how you pronounce
it? Yeah, Ariane.
Okay, so you know what we'd like to do, if you don't mind, is maybe, you know, in a couple months or whatever, maybe have you back on. You can give us some updates on how the streaming's been going for you, and if you got anything else going on starting up.
That'll be a fun update if it goes badly. Nobody watched the film.
How was Hanky Panky? Well,
I will be your local PR person. Yes, I'm going to pump up this movie. It's amazing.
I think, you know, thank you so much. I think it's going to, I'm hoping people will discover it on VOD, and then eventually, there's no deal yet, but eventually I think it would be, it probably the place most things like this end up is then on AVOD, on advertised free streaming, which I'm looking forward to, because I think it'll be very funny to see ads in the middle of Hanky Panky. Mm-hmm. And I think when it's like, it's free with ads, that's probably the time. I'm sort of hopeful that's where a lot of people will discover it. imagine you're watching a scene, the hats having an orgasm, or the napkins having an orgasm, cleaning up a mess. And it's like, the all new fully loaded Honda Santa Fe comes with a four wheel drive and whatever. And then it's back to like a napkin coming.
Or they cut to bounce static remover.
Yeah.
Fun fact, the first note I wrote down for this movie was that handkerchief is thirsty / horny for messes.
Yeah.
You immediately pick up on what you're trying to go for with that character.
Nice. But also, if you want, because we're this episode, so we record, you know, on Sundays, we launch on every Wednesday on all our platforms. So if you could, before then, or Ariane, if one of you two, send us also any links you may have, email us links. That way, when we post this up on our social media, we can add that as well to there. So that way we can let people know where to find it.
Sounds great. Is this going up this Wednesday?
Yes, sir.
Yep. Great. Okay. So I'll get on that right away.
Awesome, man. Well, again, Nick, thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to having you back on again, you know, in a couple
months. So excited to
give us some updates and whatnot. And we'll definitely let people know where to find you at. You know, we'll get those links out and post it up on our post for this Wednesday's launch.
Appreciate that so much. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Thank you.
For our honor.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you for letting us watch the movie.
And good luck at the festival today.
Oh yeah, thanks. It's very possible I'm watching that movie in a theater by myself, because I don't know how well I promoted it, and I don't know how well the festival promoted it. So it's like, I could just walk in there and it'd just be in a movie theater watching my movie.
Well, just make sure to bring the hat.
Yes.
I usually do bring the hat and then regret it. I'm like, what am I doing with this hat?
All right, man. Well, before we get cut off manually, I want to make sure that we do a good closing. So again, thanks. We'll talk to you soon. Send us out that email with those links, and we'll get that out to everybody.
Thank you guys so much. This was a lot of fun.
Awesome, man.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon.
Have a good one.
All right. So that was Mr. Nick Roth.
Yes.
We talked about Hanky Panky,
which is coming out on April 19th.
Yep.
To video on demand, which is, you know, you rent it or buy it for $3 to $5 on Amazon, Apple, Google. I highly suggest you guys, whoever's listening / watching this, log on to Amazon or Google or Apple if you have to, and rent it and watch this movie.
Yeah,
it's weird as fuck, but it's amazing. And as you heard in the interview, there is a gentleman who is full frontal. Not once, not twice, but three times in this movie.
Yes.
So be prepared.
It was the highlight of Patrick's movie.
Yep.
Don't know if it was the highlight.
And we're also hoping he will do the sequel to find out what really happened to Cliff.
Yeah.
Because Norm is dead. We won't see any more of Norm.
Well, if it's a horror movie, we all know that people come back from the dead. The Revenge of Norm, the Return of Norm.
Yeah, exactly.
Cliff Nick, if you're listening, Norm.
Cliff versus Norm.
Well, they had Freddy versus Jason. That's true. You can do a whole big thing. You know? That's the beauty of doing a horror comedy is, you know,
Norm,
horror
King movie. Of the King of the Hanky Panky.
Yeah. Well, with like, you know, horror movies, you know, people can always come back because it's a horror movie. And when you have a comedy, you can be as goofy as you want to make people come back even when it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you could just do, you know, even if he wants to put him in Hanky Panky 2, you could do an ending of that of, you know, a little short because they've done a lot of shorts. Hanky Panky the Cliff Notes. You know, just keep it short.
But just release 5 of them so it equals 1 full length.
Right, yeah, exactly. It's all episodes. So.
But no, I think he was...
Someone
he
called
was,
Netflix.
Well, I think he was great, man.
Yeah.
I said it to him like when we were recording with him. You know, he's got that cool vibe, that kind of chill vibe. And now that I go back, if we read the first email when he first reached out to us, I can definitely put 2 and 2 together as to who he is. Because when he was reading it, you know, when he sent us the email, he's like, you know, check this out. You know, he's very open about the thing. I've got it here actually. I can pull it up for you. I'm gonna read the email here for you guys. This was really cool.
Did he sign an NDA? Trying to remember.
No.
NDA.
Well, I hope not because I put that reel on my personal Instagram account.
No, he said, you know, I'm a TV writer. Hey, guys, I'm a TV writer and filmmaker, you know, with a new movie, and I'd love to have, you know, be a guest on your podcast to promote its release, but also just generally, I think I do a mean podcast guest. I'm also a dad and a professor and a WGA captain, and I'm famously always... order the first best thing on the menu. he explains the movies, and then when I said...
this has got to be his IMDb bio.
Yeah. So when I reached back out to him, when we first started talking, you know, I said, you know, how did you, you know, thank you. You know, we talked, and I said, you know, how did you hear about it? Just let us know so we could thank our, you know, networking community or if we know where our growth is going, you know, based on where they found us. And he said, he gives us the information. He says, honestly, I just stumbled upon your pod on the list and thought it looked cool. So I listened to a recent episode, the one about on the 70s, and was like, "Yep, these guys are chill. These guys seem chill." So, you know, after reading those, but then getting to meet them, I'm like, "Yep, that's
his vibe."
Yeah, now I can read the email and I can see his face now saying that to us. So, but no, really, really, really cool. It was a good time. We enjoyed watching it.
Oh yeah.
You know,
it was the first time we got like sent a screener for a film.
Yeah.
Like, please watch this so we can talk about it before the movie is even released. I think that was really cool.
Well, not the first one, but it was one. The one that, well, we reviewed not that long ago. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So that was a screener. Though it was on Tubi, it was still a screener.
Okay.
I thought it was on Tubi, so anyone could watch it.
Well, no, it was, but it's still technically we get the certain, you know, information to it. But basically, yes, you are right, correct in the terms of, yes, this has not been released yet.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. We do have that other guest we got to get on that sent us a link to hers as well, the screener to her short film.
Yes.
I believe it was Catherine, if I remember correctly.
So I'd have to dig up the email.
But we'll...
And once again, I don't even think it's her. I think it's another PR firm reaching out. We're getting pretty big for people who don't have ad revenue. This is get at us, advertisers.
Yeah, Spotify.
Yeah, we know people now.
Yeah, we're connected in a real bad way.
We're kind of a big deal.
In this recording studio.
We're kind of a big deal in a very small space.
In this in this area. We're just right here.
We're a small fish in a big pond. I will say, he did answer... without even realizing it, a question I did have, because IMDb, when I first looked up this movie, said it was completed in 2014 or 2015. I was like, this has the exact same cast and crew, and that's the trailer that I watched before I watched this movie, but it's not releasing for a month, so I don't know what the hell is going on. And then he explained in the interview that they finished, but it took like 5 years to do the edit. And which, Tony, you were in the film industry. Is that seems a little bit on the excessive side, in my opinion.
When you're the only one doing it, and like he said also, so there are a couple differences between what normally would happen. Mm. So a lot of times, yes, you can spend up to a year editing because sometimes you know, you're working on other stuff. You can't just focus on that thing. So you have to kind of do it in the filling, kind of like what we do here. Mm. But also, he even said it himself. So this is a direct quote from him. He was talking about, he's like, when he wrote the script, he's like, I wrote it fast and he didn't even really realize what it was going to be. Mm. Like, he kind of just wrote this script. Mm-hmm. That's what he explained to us. So he's like, I didn't really know. And then he said, even when they were doing the editing, he's like, you know, when we got into editing, you know, we didn't really know what we had. And also, like he said, too, after about two or three, almost 3 weeks of shooting, they didn't look at anything.
Yeah.
Until the end. So basically, then you have all this footage and you got to work on it. But I'm assuming they were probably just between like, hey, this feels right, this doesn't feel right. It might have been a good question I should have thought to ask him too, is like what the reasoning behind the length of time. But yes, that some people it can take that long.
Okay. when he said like I he said they were very busy, they were only up there for 3 weeks, and you know, no one would think, they all had like the people in this room had to get up like at 5 o'clock in the morning because they had to start prepping the shoot that day. Shit, I lost my train of thought. Let's come back to me.
You know, everybody's shooting different, and I don't know what I'm talking about.
You know, the thing with the place.
Figured it out. So I know he said, you know, they were all very busy, they didn't have a whole lot of time, but it's industry practice to at least watch, like, some sort of dailies at the end of the day or the beginning of the next day.
Again, you're going into...
So that's also what he said, was he didn't look at any of the... cut any of it.
Well, my point is, like... Was it just like I probably should have brought this up in the interview, but was that just because they had zero amount of time to dedicate to anything
else?
Besides
what it sounded filming? Because he said during lunch and at the end of the shooting day, you're downloading all the footage to hard drive. So what you're doing then, and this is probably a lot of prep work, which would have saved him a lot of time later, is when you're downloading, it's not like we do an audio thing, you know, the video. It's pretty simple. We don't have we don't have cuts or anything where we're doing different scenes on this show. So for us, just clean up the sound or, you know, the picture a little bit and then throw it out there. Whereas with them, they have to look at it. So every second, they break it down to seconds. So when you're downloading footage for a movie, so you have like 5 second increments. So you have all these files and you have to label them, like literally name every one of them, like clip scene one, time coded, all this stuff for every bit. So if you've shot for 16 hours or 8 hours or whatever the number is, you have to, that downloading takes forever.
Okay.
Because you're also, and I don't know if he just, excuse me, I don't know if he just downloaded the entire thing at once and then went back through it, but from what he's saying, it sounds like that's how he went about it. Sounds like he just said, all right, you know, or even 1 minute clips, or maybe by scene, which was each scene was like 5 or 7 minutes. So, but even when you shot for 8-9 hours, that's a lot of stuff to break down. So he kind of said, he's like, I just didn't have time at the end.
Yeah. So this is my lack of industry knowledge coming into play here. Like, that's fine. I didn't know downloading and even doing like just a rough, like get rid of the, you know, before the clicker and the after the clicker, and then just watch like the raw footage. I didn't know it was that consuming.
Yeah. Dang. That's why movies take so long to do. That's why a lot of, like, if you have a like Hollywood, and let me rephrase, if you have a studio budgeted movie, because there's a lot of really great Hollywood made independent films, but if you have a studio based movie, a lot of times you have multiple editors, not just for the different areas, not just like audio, video, and, you know, special effects or whatever. You have probably anywhere between, and this is just a guess because obviously I haven't worked on a studio budget movie before, probably at least 2 to 5 people for each of those, you know, sections.
Oh, damn.
So you probably got, and then you also have people that are just dedicated for those file downloads, for naming it. Because like I said, you're breaking it down into seconds. So you have to separate each clip, okay, every 10 seconds. You have systems that can do it. You say, how do you want this downloaded or broken up? And you could say in like 1 minute increments, you could break it down to like second increments if you wanted. But then each one of those has to be named. You have to title them. So it's like, just think about that next time. Like you save a file that you do at home, you just name it real quick. But imagine doing that for 9 hours of footage that are broken down into minute increments.
Oh.
So there's 60 minutes in an hour.
Yeah. I'm
times nine.
I quickly did some rough back of the envelope math in my head and
540 files you have to name and codec and all that good stuff. So
yeah, that broke me.
So that could be a reason why.
And now that I have that context, this makes a lot of sense.
So yeah, just the downloading, and he was wise to do that because shit, trying to download that much at the end of it if you shot 18 days worth of stuff and then downloaded it later. It'd still
be downloading probably.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. To the second.
It would be premiering April 19th of next year. Yeah. Or the year after. No, but overall, he seemed, you know, I liked the style of what he talked about. He kind of strikes me as he takes, his filmmaking seriously, but also he's relaxed about it as well, if that makes any kind of sense. Like he's not one of those, doesn't seem like he'd want to be one of those like hardcore directors, like this is how it is, how it needs to be, it's my movie.
He doesn't want to be the next Scorsese. He just wanted to, he's like, I want to make a comedy horror movie. And I've got access to my wife's, parents' cabin. Fuck it, let's go. I'll write the script on the drive to Utah. Well, he even said it himself. Like, he felt like he wrote the script a little bit too hastily, so he was constantly doing, like, updates, like, the day or night before. So, but even if he was doing rewrites, like, on set, I can only assume that the base that he was working with was genuinely just as funny.
Yeah.
He was probably just cutting out things that really didn't, like...
flow.
Yeah. Like, oh, we've got this great comedy scene right here, and now I'm doing a poop joke. Still funny. Yeah. Not really relevant to the whole vibe of the film.
Yeah, just cut away everything that's not David.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, also, it was a good time, man. We only got a couple minutes left here, but just wanted to just say again to Nick, for all the listeners, thanks again for joining us. You know, we had a really good time talking with him, and definitely hope to have him back on. I know he seems pretty eager to want to jump back on and let us know how things are going, or whatever new projects he's got going on.
Hopefully,
and
it's the sequel.
Yeah. Hanky Pankies.
There's two hats now.
But we are about out of time. So again, guys, just remember, check us out on all the social media platforms. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Check us out on all the listening platforms, Spotify, Anchor, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, CastBox, Overcast, all the other ones, iHeartRadio and all the good stuff. And come check us out on YouTube. This episode will be airing. We recorded today on the, what is today?
7th.
So that'll be coming out this Wednesday, which would be the 10th. Am I correct on that?
Yes. It is the 10th, because I thought it was coming out on the 11th.
And carry the 2.
Yeah,
I was really hoping we like, at some point, like, and you could watch it tomorrow, and then I quickly, like, oh, shit, 19th. Yeah. So a week after this episode goes live, you will be able to go onto Amazon or Apple, the places I named earlier, and rent or buy this movie and enjoy it.
Yep. And we'll also, like I said, as long as he gets us the info, we'll push the links on our post that'll be coming out Tuesday, the day prior.
He's a busy person. He's a professor. He's a filmmaker. He's a writer. Even if he doesn't send us direct links, I have a couple like from IMDb, and I can post the YouTube channel. We will definitely be posting links to promote this movie in some form of fashion. Yep.
And Ariane can get us that info too.
Yeah,
for some reason. So, but definitely check it out, guys. Again, thank you so much for listening. Talking with Nick Roth.
Yes.
About Hanky Panky. All right, guys. But until Wednesday, when you get to hear this episode for Movie Talks and Chill, we're your hosts. I'm Tony Serrato.
I'm Gavin Butts.
I'm Patrick Wall.
All right, guys. Take care.
Let's see that movie at the end.
Don't forget, guys, you can visit us at our website, movietalksandchill.com. Email us at talktous@movietalksandchill.com or find us on our YouTube channel.
You can also follow us on social media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Movie Talks and Chill.
You can listen to us on Spotify, Anchor, Google Podcasts, Breaker, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, coming soon to Apple Podcasts, CastBox, and Overcast.
New episodes available every Wednesday. Talk to you then.
Theme music for our podcast was composed, arranged, and performed by Paul the Rock.